Okay, I believe we are live on Facebook, and alhamdulillah, we are now live on Instagram. Okay, awesome. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me pretty well? Okay, perfect. Alhamdulillah. All right. So, Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We are again really fortunate to be able to join together for alhamdulillah for about 20-25 minutes today to go over some of the thematic lessons from the 28th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Qasas. We obviously, myself and Ustada Fatima, have been really blessed with the privilege of kind of narrating the story of Prophet Musa between us two, and kind of having an audience here on Instagram and Facebook to kind of gain in on the reflection and the conversation. And so, alhamdulillah, today we are going to be touching a little bit upon the aftermath of the story of Prophet Musa. I think, like we mentioned previously in the last few sessions of the past month, that the story of Prophet Musa is not only a story that is covered in Surah Al-Qasas, but it's covered in so many other chapters in the Quran, including Surah Al-Taha, Surah Al-Shu'ara, all these different surahs that cover the, Surah Yunus, even to an extent, that covers the, demise of the Pharaoh, and also the, the life of Prophet Musa alayhis salam himself. And so now, today, we officially enter this kind of if Surah Al-Qasas was a book, we'd be entering like the conclusion and like the author's notes on it now. And so, we talked about Fir'aun's death last week, right, on Soul Food. And so today, alhamdulillah, we're starting with verse 43. If you guys are on your Quran on your phone or on your laptop or your iPad, whatever it is, we're starting with Surah Qasas, verse 43 today, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he starts off by kind of addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is really interesting because a lot of times when we're immersed into the stories of the Quran, we actually forget that the stories in the Quran are actually a conversation between Allah and his final messenger, right? The story of Yusuf, for example, Ustada Fatima, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The story of Prophet Yusuf was actually narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a response to like a challenge that Jews of Medina had towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, if you really are the Prophet of God, then prove it. Tell us the story of Jacob and his sons, right? And so at the end of the day, these stories are not just stories that are there for our amusement or our kind of, entertainment. They are actual conversations between Allah and his prophet. And so today we're actually going to be kind of rounding off this surah by talking about the conversation with Allah and his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, Asala Fatima, the first thing that we want to kind of discuss here, and you can kind of elaborate by using the ayat that we're covering today, which is verses 43 through to 50, is that the first theme that we wanted to cover today is the theme that, this Quran is actually a conversation between Allah and His Prophet, that it's a miracle in and of itself, right? That if it wasn't for the Quran, if it wasn't for, the conversation, the relationship between Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet would have no idea about Musa or about Isa or about Yusuf or Harun or any other prophet that came before him, right? So what do you think about that? Like, what are your thoughts on the idea that obviously this is such a validity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it confirms his prophethood, that he's having these conversations with Allah to begin with?
So what's really interesting actually is that, when we talk about the Quran and talk about the relationship that the Prophet had with the Quran, it's something that helps us understand our relationship that we should have with the Quran today. That the Quran actually is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you mentioned, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking directly to the Prophet. And when we started off Surah Al-Qasas, we actually alluded to this, or maybe we talked about it more explicitly, but we did allude to it for sure. When we said that, Surah Al-Qasas was revealed at a very difficult time of the, And it was during the Hijra when the Prophet ﷺ was making the migration, the very difficult migration from Mecca to Medina. And that alone shows that this was a conversation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Prophet ﷺ, you got this, you can do it, it's difficult. You know, by no means was Hijra easy. There are people who have a bounty on you. You're like, you know, you're basically a fugitive in their eyes, in the eyes of the Quraysh. You know, they're like shoot to kill, basically. This is exactly the thought process that was going down. And not only that, the Prophet wasn't by himself. He was with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so now he has another life that he's worried about. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the story of Musa alayhi salam to highlight the difficulties that Musa alayhi salam went through and how God saw him through it. Right, so there's that one aspect of the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will communicate with his beloved. Then there's the second aspect here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kind of talks about it here, and it's really cool because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sometimes when we think about the way that the Quran is set up, we're like, okay, maybe the way that, you know, Allah talks about different things, like it will just be like very explicit to the Prophet. I'm like, I'm telling you this so that you can know the stories of the past. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls for reflection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa ma kunta bijanib al-gharbi." إِذْ قَدَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ الْأَمْرِ. He says to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ غَرْبِ. He tells the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that you, O Muhammad, sorry, my laptop is being unstable currently. He tells him that you, O Muhammad, مَا كُنْتَ, he comes to the Prophet, tells you, O Muhammad, you were not present. You weren't on the western side of the mountain. And we talked about this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to Musa alayhi salam. He said, "Ma tilka bi yaminika ya Musa?" What is in your right hand, O Moses? And Musa alayhi salam said, "Hiya asaya atawakku alayha." This is my staff. I walk with it. I do all these things. We talked about this. When God called Musa alayhi salam to the side of the mountain, you weren't there. You weren't there. إِذْ قَدَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ الْأَمْرِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we gave our command to Musa, and what's beautiful, I like to add little grammar things because grammar is fun when you're looking at the Quran. It's not fun outside of that. Here, actually, قَدَيْنَا is in the meaning of what أَهِدْنَا, when we entrusted. When we entrusted to Musa alayhi salam the command. And you were not a witness to it. You were not amongst those who witnessed it, meaning the people of Musa alayhi salam, Banu Israel, they saw the commandments. You know, they saw the Torah, they saw these things, they witnessed it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet alayhi salam, you weren't there, you didn't witness it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling the Prophet alayhi salam, you weren't there, so you don't have nothing to say. He's telling him, you didn't witness it. You weren't there. So how do you know all the things that you know? It's a reflective moment. You know, it's a reflective moment that we've come so far in our relationship. You know, this relationship that the Prophet and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have, this is Hijra. Like, this is the relationship so far. They've come so far in that relationship. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the Prophet that, you know, these conversations that you are, that you know of, these things that, and the Prophet was unlettered. He wasn't someone who, you know, knew how to read and write. So he didn't go into different books and scriptures and already know, okay, let me read this, let me read that. The Prophet was unlettered. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you weren't there to witness all of these things. He says, وَلَكِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَا قُرُونًا فَتَطَاوَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأُمُرُ. He says that, but what we did was, وَمَا كُنْتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet, he says, we are brought into being, okay? Many generations who lived lives, like many generations have lived before you. Many generations have come, many prophets have come before. See, this is what I mean by my computer. Many prophets have come before, many generations have come before you, and they've all lived there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَمَا كُنْتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ. He says, and then you didn't live amongst the people of Median. Like, you weren't with the people of Median. You know their struggles, but you weren't with them. تَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِنَا وَلَكِنَّ كُنَّا مُرْسَلِينَ. He says that our revelation, our verses have been recited on to them, and we have always sent messengers to their people, but you weren't there. Like you were, you didn't witness these things. And then Allah continues, and He says, nor were you there, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ, and nor were you there when on the side of Mount Sinai, like, nor were you there at that time, إِذْ نَادَيْنَا, when we called out to Musa, وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ, but you too have been sent, like, وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ, you too have been given this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You two have been like, you guys have a brotherhood. You guys have a connection. لِتُنْدِرَ قَوْمًا. And what is that connection? To give warning to people, to give warning to a nation. أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَأَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And He says that no warner has come before so that they may take heed. Meaning that you guys share this fraternity. It's not just like, you know, Musa alayhi salam existed by himself and you exist by yourself. You have these stories because it's a toolbox. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given to Prophet alayhi salam to be able to get through different things. Like you said, Surah Yusuf, right? That was a moment of questioning. And how did the Prophet alayhi salam was able to answer it? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him that help.
You know what's really, really awesome, Ustaz Fatima, while you were kind of sharing that reflection, I was kind of thinking about when you mentioned that, like, the prophets are almost, like, they're almost like this fraternity, right? Mm-hmm. And it really reminds me of, you know, the narrations of the miraculous night journey that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took, right? The Isra wal Mi'raj, as it was called, because, you know, we know that the word Isra is something that's very, very private. It's mm-hmm. a very secret journey, right? It's something between a believer and Allah. And then the Mi'raj part, you know, obviously means that, like, he ascended, right? He went up. And what's one of the most interesting things there is that when the Prophet ﷺ was on his way up through the heavens, one of the prophets he did meet out of the 25 that were mentioned in the Quran was Prophet Musa.
Yeah.
He saw him in front of him. And, you know, and Ustaz Fatima can elaborate on this as well, but from, you know, what we studied and what we remembered is that Prophet Musa alayhi salam was an extremely tall, intimidating, broad-shouldered man, right? So it was very interesting to see that Allah wanted, and everything obviously happens, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, that it only happens because Allah wills it to happen. And so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Prophet Musa was actually supposed to happen, right? They were supposed to meet each other. And the scholars, they actually say that the Isra wal Mi'raj, it actually took place as a form of, like, reinforcement for the Prophet. Mm-hmm. That dude, like, hey, you're here with all these other people that did this before you. Like, don't feel alone and by yourself. Like Ustada Fatima mentioned, is that a lot of times these journeys, and obviously none of us are prophets here, sitting here, but a lot of times in our spiritual journeys, we do feel lonely, right? Mm-hmm. There'll be moments where, like, for example, and Ustada Fatima, I don't know how you feel about this, but I remember this past Ramadan is a prime example. You know, usually Ramadan is like, all right, I'm going to the masjid with my friends. I'm going to eat iftar with my family and my friends. And I'm going to my friends' friends and people I don't even know are my friends I'm hanging out with now. Like, but this Ramadan was really trippy. Like, it was very strange. It felt like we were very much alone during this time of our worship. And because of that, you know, we have moments like this, where, like, the hijrah, you know, the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr Siddiq, they felt very alone, right? They're going to a foreign land, to Medina, that they had never inhabited before. Islam seems very, you know, hard to hold onto at this moment. But Allah kind of gives you this reinforcement. Hey, you know, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There are people who are right there with you, that care about you, that have done this before with you. And so this part where kind of he tells the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ, that you're also sent as an act of grace from Allah, right? Mm-hmm. To give warning to a people that have never given warning before. It's a way of almost tying the hearts together, that Prophet Musa is not just narrating a story, or Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not just narrating a story of this prophet that lived generations before him. He's like, no, that's my brother.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's my brother. And he actually called, you know, Prophet Yunus. He called Prophet Yunus his brother. He goes, oh, that's my brother from Nineveh, right? Mm-hmm. And so the prophets had, like, this really brotherly notion with each other, which was really, really beautiful, which I thought was always really cool to reflect about. And so now, you know, we kind of lead to this next ayah in verse 47. Allah, he mentions that in this ayah, you guys can read it out. I mean, it's on Facebook right now. And if you guys are following on Instagram, you can kind of open up your own iPads or computers. You see in verse 47, Allah starts to talk a little bit about the disasters that befell the previous generations, right? What happened to certain people? And if you guys have been following along with the stories from our past series, we've talked about all these prophets, Prophet Hud, Prophet Noah, Prophet Saleh, Prophet Dawood, all these different, Prophet Lut, all these different people whose communities struggled with a very big vice at times, right? Yeah. They struggled with either, you know, idolatry, or they struggled with corruption of the heart and immorality. And one of the things that Allah mentions here is that the calamities that befell them was a direct result of what they had done with their own hands, right? Mm-hmm. Allah mentions in the Quran, which is really interesting, right? And it says here that bima qaddamat aydihim, right? Like they did it to themselves.
Their
hands literally did. Yeah, they literally have no one to blame but themselves, right? And so, Ustadha Fatima, I wanted to ask you this question, and I ask you to share a couple of reflections, maybe from this ayah. Is that what? How do you feel about this, right? Kind of a lot of us sometimes we go through these questions about the previous generations, right? Why did Allah decide to kind of like, you know, end an entire generation of people, like Prophet Noah's people, right? One of the most difficult things, I remember I had a conversation with Sheikh Abdul Nasser, the one of our main instructors at Qalam, about Prophet Noah, even his own family, right? His own family decided to not listen to him. And as a result of that, he lost his own family during this flood, right? Yeah. And so what kind of thoughts do you have about this, Ustadha Fatima, where, you know, these people were given the message, they were given a messenger, but at the end of the day, you know, Allah says, you know, they decided to either act very negligently, or they were completely in denial of what Allah had given them. So how do you kind of reconcile this, Ustadha Fatima?
I think one of the things that I really reflect upon is the fact that, like, if we look at ayah number 46, for example, in the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ لِتُنْدِرَ قَوْمًا مَا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That last part, يَتَذَكَّرُونَ, that perhaps they will, you know, reflect, perhaps they will do some remembrance, perhaps they will think about their actions, perhaps they will think about why is it that God is sending a messenger to us? Not about who is this, not about the who, because that's a lot of the problem that was happening, right? Mm-hmm. With the Quraysh, it was like, well, you know, who made you a prophet? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you Muhammad, like Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like you're a great person, like you're truthful, you're trustworthy, we liked you before you claimed this, but you're the poorest of the clan. You know, you don't have your father passed away, your mother passed away. Like, there were so many things that they were not okay with because of the who. You have Musa Alayhi Salaam, where you don't come from this tribe. So who made you prophet? There was a lot of the who, a lot of the different things that, you know, society teaches us about status and status quo that stops people from reflecting and being, you know, reflective over the signs that God brings forth in front of them. And that's something that we go through today. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Somebody comes to you and gives you some sincere advice about something, and you say, who gave you permission to talk to me? Who do you think you are? And I get it. There are mustard aunties and uncles who, you know, a little extra, a little bit intense. You get what I'm saying? Which is very true. But at the same time, when we think about this, we say they're always worrying about the who. Like, who is this person? Who are you? Where did you come from? What is this? Do your research. Yes, for sure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us signs, and He gives us different people in our lives to serve as people to bring us into that reflection and that remembrance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us different things that happen in our life for us to reflect and remember, you know? And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent like many other messengers, as a blessing, as a mercy, to warn people. And this warning is for you to reflect. And if you reflect, then you will know that you will reap what you sow. If you reflect properly and you listen to the signs that God has given you, you listen to the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, you listen to the things that God put right in front of you, then you will make better decisions. لَوْلَا أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. That if, so that they may not say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh, He sent warners, He sent people to them out of mercy. He sent people to them out of mercy so that they don't say, so that we don't say, oh, if a disaster comes upon us, we don't say, you know, oh, Allah, only if you sent a messenger, then maybe we would have followed your message and become believers. Mm-hmm. So that we don't say that. قَالَ فَيَقُولُ رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So that we don't say we didn't have any guidance. We didn't know which way to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He made sure that you weren't guided, that you were guided. He made sure that He brought a guide for you, somebody to help you navigate life. And sometimes when we think about, you know, somebody helping us navigate life and someone telling us how things are going to go and like how to get through things and so on and so forth, we're expecting the journey to be easy. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, okay, I believe now, but my life is still hard. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a navigation system. It's not going to tell you the potholes. They're just going to tell you how, where to go and how to get to where you're going. You know what I'm saying? And if you have a really good car, your really good car will help you get through those potholes. But it's not going to tell you about them. It's not going to tell you about every single one. Okay, avoid this pothole, avoid that pothole. No, how do you get through life? How do you make sure that you become amongst those who are believers? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent messengers as. And it's important for us to do reflection. You know, sometimes we think just because we're Muslim now, that's it. That's not it. The Quran was revealed to Muslims.
Yeah, that's true.
Muslims.
Yeah.
Revelation didn't stop in the Medina period.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really incredible because, you know, now what's really interesting in Ayah 48, I just literally just glimpsed at this right now and it kind of just caught me by surprise, is that Allah says, فَلَمَّا جَاءُهُمْ لَحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى. They literally said like, what, and so when Allah had sent them something, then they even complain that, why didn't you give us something like you gave to Musa? And Prophet Musa, what was he given? Prophet Musa was given a scripture and he was given miracles. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the scholars of tafsir, they actually say that the people that came after Musa, they complained that really, if the rest of y'all are prophets and if Allah really is Allah, then give us something that we can read and give us like a miracle that you can show us. And they're basically listing out demands. And at this point, Ustadh Fatima, we're almost like talking here as though like, you know, and this doesn't, by the way, just happen to people who are not Muslims. Mm-hmm. This happens to people who are Muslims as well, right? That like, you know, and that's a really interesting thing, is that a lot of these challenges and these requests happen also within the folds of Islam. Like when we make a dua, we're like, okay, Allah, I'm going to make this dua to you real quick. I want my grade to come back as a 96 or above. And if it doesn't come back, then I don't know, really know if dua really works. You know, and that's a really, really dangerous game.
Oh Allah, show me a sign.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, and when that happens, it's really scary because you're almost like challenging Allah. And one of the things that we actually said is that one of the things that we need to be very cautious of is that, you know, when we see or read stories of miracles, right? When Musa throws down a staff and it becomes a snake, or when Musa strikes his staff on the ground, the Red Sea parts as though it was mountains. When Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire by a catapult and Allah told the fire to be cool to him, that, you know, it is a miracle and it's amazing for us to read and see. But you know what those miracles really are to the people witnessing it, is a responsibility.
Yeah.
Like you literally witnessed something that God did in front of your eyes. This is why, Sada Fatima, you can elaborate on this as well, is that people who saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walking amongst them, right, in the communities in Mecca and Medina, man, if you did not take Islam seriously at that time, then man, that's like scary, right? Like mm-hmm. I don't care if you believe in Islam if you see Safiye Khan walking around, or you know Sadat Fatima Let walking around, because we are obviously not prophets, nor are we prophetic. But you see a prophet walking in the same streets as your community, and still after that you have the arrogance and the ignorance to be like, all right, what else? Show me something, right? Man, you're not just asking for a miracle. You're asking for a disaster, literally. Like, and it's terrifying, right? And so this is how Allah kind of describes the people that came before Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And this is so interesting. He describes people like, you know, Prophet Lut and Hud and Prophet Noah and Prophet Shu'aib and all these different prophets. And then finally, and we want to end with these last couple of verses. And finally, you know, Allah Ta'ala in verse 49, Allah talks directly to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, Qul, he says, say, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, produce a book from God that gives better guidance than these two, and I will follow it if you are telling the truth. And then in ayah 50, Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِبُ لَكَ فَعَلَمْ. He says, and if they do not respond to you, you will know that they truly have followed their own desires. Mm-hmm. And if they don't believe you after that, then truly they are following their own desires. And then Allah says, who is more? He goes, who is more? Woman adallu mimman attaba'a hawahu bighayri hudan min Allah. And he says, who is further away than the one who follows his own desires with no guidance from Allah, right? Mm-hmm. And Allah gives us this kind of like ending, like stamp right here, like this kind of like drop the mic type of statement, that if you follow your desires, then there is nothing that anyone can do to guide you here. There's no prophet that can guide you here if you choose over and over and over again to continue to follow your own desires. So Sada Fatima, do you have any sort of reflections in that last ayah that, you know, Allah kind of gives us like this ultimatum here? What do you think about that?
You can't pick and choose when you want to follow the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you want to believe, or when you want to try to rationalize out of belief, you know? The thing was that the Meccans, they were very much so like, oh, the Quran is fake, like the Prophet ﷺ made it up, or he will go to these people and like the rabbis and the priests, and he will sit with them and they give him the scripture and he makes up his own things and said that. And so God said, if it's so fake, then produce something like it. Mm. You know, if it's so fake, then bring one ayah like it. If it's so fake, then bring a whole book like it. If it's something that's so made up, if one human being can make it up, then I'm sure 10 of your brains can put something together. And so you can pick and choose when you want to follow the guidelines of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when you want to follow, you know, your own desires. And the thing is that when you ask for miracles, when you ask for God to show you, you say, oh Allah, show me the clear way, or show me a miracle, show me. You know, you want proof. When proof is brought to you, you have to act on that proof. Uh-huh. You have to act on the fact of what's brought to you. You cannot just choose that, okay, well, it was brought to me, I'm going to choose whether or not I'm going to take it. That's not how it works. And proof is that the Quran is, that the Prophet is real, that Musa alayhi salam was real. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet to tell the people, fa'tu bi kitabin min indillah. Then produce a book from Allah that gives guidance. Huwa ahda, it gives better guidance, like giving you better lessons in life. Mm-hmm. Just be able to really present it. Min huma, from both the Torah and the Quran. So not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give them one prototype. He gave them two. Bring something from the Quran or the Torah, it doesn't matter. Okay, attabi'hu in kuntum sadiqeen. And I will follow it, telling the Prophet to tell them that you will follow it. If you are telling the truth, then I'll follow you. If you really think this is fake, you really got better guidance, I got you. Because that's the fact. He's telling them, prove yourself. You wanted me to prove myself? Now you prove yourself. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ, if they can't stand up to the challenge, فَأَلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, then know that they are following their own desires. That if they refuse to back down, But at the same time, they won't produce their challenge. They won't produce what's been challenged with them. Mm. They're just, it's like when you get into an argument with somebody, you need to know, am I arguing for the sake of arguing to prove my point? Or am I arguing to actually bring some type of benefit to this conversation? Mm. You're arguing to just prove a point. When you realize you're wrong, what are you going to do? You're going to double down. Mm-hmm. You're going to double down.
Absolutely. You know
how to get out of the argument?
Yep.
SubhanAllah. Actually want a fruitful conversation out of that, what will you do? Even if you're right, you will do that for yourself.
SubhanAllah.
Following your desires don't allow you to follow yourself.
That's incredible because, you know, in the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's so many narrations of people like, for example, when Khalid ibn Walid, before he was Muslim, you know, he was a very, very just a monumental community member in the city of Mecca. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making Umrah, right, his Umratul Qadha, his Umratul Qisas, when he was denied at Hudaybiyah the year before, then came back to perform Umrah, he sent a letter to Khalid ibn Walid. Right, he sent a letter to Khalid ibn Walid, and he said in that letter, just I'm kind of like paraphrasing it. He said, "Oh Khalid, a person as smart as you, I am shocked that you haven't considered Islam." Mm-hmm. You know, and so it proves that to a certain point, the Quraysh in Mecca were literally just not. They were literally denying Islam because they were petty. You know, the Prophet's like, you know, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn Walid, you guys are smart people. You guys are geniuses, actually. You know, Amr ibn al-As was like a genius negotiator. Khalid ibn Walid was a genius military leader. And he goes, I'm just shocked that you guys are so smart, yet you guys continue to deny the truth. And so, and that ultimately, that actually was the message that shook them to their core. Mm-hmm. They were like, man, are we really just like, basically, are we just haters? Yeah. Are we just being petty haters? We actually believe in Islam and we're just not doing it because we just want to like, have some sort of like kind of ego satiation that we're right. Like that's the ultimate kind of question that's asked, right? SubhanAllah. Yeah. So inshallah, we're going to stop with that because we're almost at, you know, 7:40, but this was kind of like the following conversation that, you know, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had with Allah Ta'ala after the story of Prophet Musa came down in Surah Al-Qasas. And so it brings, you know, even in those 7 to 8 verses, we bring about so much benefit and so much meaning from it all. So may Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah, from us, and may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make us people who follow the words of the Quran as words that are beautiful and applicable and words that we fall in love with. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-'alim wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin. Jazakumullahu khairan, y'all. We appreciate every single one of you guys in our Roots community. And may Allah reward you guys. And we'll see you guys again, inshallah, this weekend and the next coming week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right.